So we're in this series entitled Going Deeper. Going Deeper. Our key verse for the series is Psalm 42 and 1. And have we already made it a part of our memory? All right. Well, it'll be on the screen. Psalm 42 and 1 says, as a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you. There is a desperateness that must be there as we are pursuing God. Is that right? So we want to make sure we continue to live according to that desperateness, what we know who God is and what he has done, right? Listen, not only, I want to say this real quick, because I grew up as a PK, preacher's kid. So sometimes PKs are kind of just expected to do certain things and they just be there and just whatever feeling. But I want to acknowledge the fact that my baby is turning 18 on Tuesday. Y'all, Mackenzie is about to be 18. Somebody's getting older around here. Shivering, I don't know who it is. Somebody's getting older. So if you don't mind, just celebrate Mackenzie and just tell her happy birthday. I certainly appreciate that. So on today, last week we started a series dealing with in going deeper, and the title of the sermon was what? Deep cleaning. Deep cleaning. As we're in this springtime, we have to do some deep cleaning. There were three things I wanted you to walk away from there remembering about deep cleaning, and those three things are, first of all, that it must be a personal desire. You have to want to do the work for deep cleaning, all right? I told you my wife would tell us when it's time to clean, and if we didn't do it well enough, she brought somebody else in because it wasn't our desire to clean in the first place. All right. So it must be a personal desire. It must be a priority. So the priority in your life is to be as clean as you can spiritually for the usage of God. Is that right? And then finally, it must be done with power. You have to put some elbow grease in it every now and then to really deal with those stains. And spiritually, have to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to do a work that you cannot do for yourself. So deep cleaning, it is a priority for our lives. And on today, we're going to talk about a different subject, still in 1 John. We'll be in 1 John chapter 2, the scripture that was just read for us. The title of our sermon today is Loving Deeper. Loving Deeper, all right? So let's give a quick little backdrop once again on this passage. This book, this epistle of John, 1 John, 3 John, Revelation is written by John, the Apostle John. And John is at the last years and the last days of his life. And God speaks to him to write to the church of Ephesus. Paul sent him to be the pastor in Ephesus. He's the last of the apostles that's still living. And he writes to the church of Ephesus. He writes to the churches of Asia Minor. And we see that true in the book of Revelation. He specifically says this letter to the churches of Asia Minor. He writes to them because he was not concerned about them becoming saved. They were already saved in this church of Ephesus. But he wanted them to maintain their salvation. In this particular day, you have the onset of agnosticism before we know what it is now. The seeds of it are planted here in the life of Ephesus and the life in the Ephesian church because they didn't want people to make a decision about what they believe. You can believe anything. You don't have to have truth about it, but if that's how you feel, then go with it. You even had people that were standing to preach, and they were not declaring the gospel through Jesus Christ. And John wanted them to be aware that you would have some liars come around you that want to distract you from the relationship you have with God. And so you have to be aware of these things. And so John is trying to get them to see that you have to maintain this fellowship with God by maintaining this fellowship with one another. Because how you treat one another is a direct evidence of where God is in your life. John is a person like you and I. He just didn't automatically mature to this place. If you look at John's life, you don't see him preaching a sermon in the Gospels. He doesn't preach at all in the Gospels. But yet we see him from when he was chosen by Christ, John and his brother James, call them the sons of thunder because they were some loud, boisterous guys, you know. And we see that in the book of in Luke, John wanted to call down fire on the Samaritans because they insulted Christ. So this wasn't some little nice, oh, come to Jesus. This is a bully kind of a Christian kind of a guy. But he changes because in the book of Acts, he actually extends salvation to those same old enemies. So he goes through a change that although he is old, being old doesn't mean you grow up. You can be an old fool. You can be 21 today, go to sleep tomorrow and turn 22. All you've done is gotten older. But you haven't grown up. That's a story of a lady. She was 87 years old and she entered into college. She went to college at 87 years old. She garnered the respect of everybody in all of her classes because she had such wisdom. They asked her to even speak at the sports banquet that spring. And she spoke at the banquet, and she had all her note cards in there, and the note cards just went all over the floor. And she said, oh, shoot, I don't need these cards. I'm old enough to talk to you about history. And so she talked to them, and she wanted them to understand that I'm old and you're getting older. But just because you're getting older doesn't mean that you're gaining something to say. If you don't spend time to listen to someone. Because getting older should mean that you're getting wiser and that you're growing up. And I want to suggest to you that John shows us that getting older doesn't mean that you are maturing. But when you walk with God and you listen to what God says, what he wants to say through you is going to affect lives now and lives to come. So remember this, growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. Growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. Don't look at anybody, look at me. Because some of you sitting around, you have not grown up yet. So I don't want you to give it away. So journey with me in the text. We're not going to hold you long, hopefully. Look at verse number 3-6, where the Lord says this. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So write this down, if you will. If you're going to, your loving is going to be deeper, it's done properly in the light. Deeper love is done properly in the light. So the only way you can give love properly is by giving love through our relationship with Jesus Christ. If it's not done through Jesus Christ, it's going to in turn be hurtful, because the only reason why you should do whatever you're doing in any relationship is because the Spirit is leading you to do it. John says in John 15, the Spirit leads us into all truth, right? So if we do whatever we do because the Spirit is leading us, there's no way we can be hurt. There's no way we can be taken advantage of. Because what I'm doing for you is not because I want to do it, because the Spirit is leading me to do it. So if love is going to be done properly, it is done in the light. Everybody in here, if you're single or married, you got to be very careful that people want to show you love in dark places. Because if we're trying to show, if someone's trying to show you love in dark places, there are some ulterior motives and some ideas going on. Because if love is going to be right, it's done in the light and done under the auspiceship of the Holy Spirit, right? So you have to be very careful and leery if someone wants to show you love the way they want to show it to you. All right, I'll try this side. You got to be real careful when people want to show you love and they don't like the way they give you love.
They're mad at you because you don't receive love from them the way you need love, but they're giving you love the way they want you to give it. Just like that didn't make any sense. Some of our lifestyles don't make sense. And the fact that we are pushing ourselves on people, wanting them to receive what we give, and that's not their love language. Okay. So he says here, the text is clear. We know that we've come to know him if we keep his commands. So listen, the truth of this text is that every time you see the word know, it's talking about intimate fellowship. So what John is saying to the church in Ephesus is that if you have an intimate walk with God, the signs of you having an intimate walk with him is that you fulfill his commandments. So either you're in it or you're not in it. There's no gray area. You see, we continue to offer passes to people because they looked the part, because grandma gave the land for the church. Well, you know that's Miss Smith's grandson. You know he's all right. Well, he may be all right, but he ain't right with God. And we cannot offer passes just because someone has been showing up or giving some money. So he says, if you're going to show love, it has to be properly done in the light. And then the light says, I am pursuing an intimate fellowship with God. And if I call myself being in the light and I'm not completing the commandments, I am a liar. I don't tell the truth. I give alternative facts about the situation. Now, my grandmama said, you just a bone-faced liar. Bone-faced, bald-faced, all some kind of face. You just a liar. And listen, if you got to be careful. You cannot establish a relationship with someone that's a liar, because if you're a liar, you'll cheat. If you cheat, my grandma said, you cheat, you kill. You're just a deceiver. You have confused yourself to make yourself believe that I'm good. So look at it. We're not going to make it. Look at the text. Text 6 says it again. So whoever says, I know him, but does not do what is commanded is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But anyone who obeys his word, love for God, is truly made complete in them. In John 15:4, it says this, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in him. So as John writes this in 1 John 2, he is thinking about what he wrote in John 15. We can deal with this whole idea of abiding. So John correlates his life with Christ and brings it into the epistle in 1 John. Because there's a beautiful picture that resonates of this abiding, this knowing God. Because you can't say that you know God, but you live to please yourself. You can't say that you know God and you want a relationship with him, but everything he says to do, you do the opposite or whatever makes sense to you in your time span. Because some of us don't do the opposite. We just slow in being walking out the truth. So the idea here is if you love God, there is something that is produced out of your life. Are you walking with me? Look at the text. We're not making up. He says, look at the verse number 6. Whoever claims to live in him will live as Jesus did. So you got two things. You have abiding and walking it out. The reason why some people cannot tell and know if you are a believer, because we cannot tell who you are abiding in. And we cannot tell who you are walking like. I'll try this out. The world needs to know who you are abiding in. And the world needs to know who you are walking like. You see, if we're not careful, we will find ourselves abiding in political parties. Yeah. That people know our thoughts regarding politics before they know our thoughts regarding faith and religion. Because we are abiding in that. It's the idea that some people take the Bible and they wrap it, abide it in a flag. That some people take the Bible and they put the flag inside the Bible. The Bible does not belong wrapped in a flag or a flag inside it. The Bible is the Bible. And it works well all by itself. You see, we have some people, some Christians. This is Christian Church in Ephesus, John is talking to. We have some people in the Christian Church in America that are not abiding in the Scriptures. We're abiding in all kinds of things that seem Christian-like. Things that look spiritual. But when you apply God's word to it, it doesn't make any sense. So I have to ask you a question this morning. Who are you abiding in? What literally is the vine that's feeding your life? And I know you're going to say, well, Rev, I'm in church. That don't mean a doggone thing. I know a whole lot of people that go to church. But church, the life of Christ is not in them anywhere. It's not resonating in any part of their lives. But because they go to church, they think everything is good. No. Abiding. The idea of abiding, the Greek word is memo. Everybody say memo. Yeah, because it's a long ago. Memo, memo. And so the idea of memo means to remain. It means to continue. Abiding, living in. We're supposed to be in a place where God's presence, we're living in that moment. How can you live in that moment and sin in that moment at the same time? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I mean, that all, see, now we read the first part of chapter 2, that the blood of Jesus, verses 1 and 2, the blood of Jesus is still purifying us. So since we know we're being purified, do we just go ahead and do what we want to do? My flesh says go get it. My flesh says get it. That zombie says, that zombie wants us. I'm going to feed that zombie. Do I do it knowing that I have already been saved? Knowing that God is willing to forgive me? Do I still go ahead and give my body? Do I give my money to all kinds of crazy stuff? Or do I allow the power of the Holy Ghost to hold me? The idea here is abiding in. So I have to ask, are you abiding in God? Some of us want to say that God is abiding in me. Uh-uh. You need to abide in God. Because when you allow stuff to abide in you, you get a whole lot of stuff that comes with that. Folks, abiding in. All right. Y'all see what it is. But you need to abide in the Scriptures. You need to get in the word. Because it's not good enough for you to say that I'm saved, which satisfies you between here and heaven. But salvation is not just between you and here and heaven. Salvation is for you to live out the truth on this side. All right. So abide in. Then he also said the evidence of if you are living the love of God. Look at the text. I'm going to make it up. He said, whoever claims to live, abide in him, must live. Walk as Jesus did. So because you live in him, there's something that's produced out of your life. Everybody say, I learned to walk right. All right, so now walking is one of the rudiment things that every person, when you're born, after a few months, you start learning how to do what? You walk. Typically, a child walks or starts the process of walking before they start talking good. Because walking is a natural progression. Everybody say, progression. If you're learning to walk, that means you are progressing in the stages of life. So walking for a child, a human being, is like walking for the spiritual person. You learn to walk better and easier as you abide in God. The reason why we still stumble so much is because we're not abiding in the source. So our walking technique is not that good. We need all kinds of help to prop us up, to make us look like we're walking good. We have a whole lot of spiritual braces on. Spiritual braces to help our knees from knocking and turn that pigeon toe where it's not supposed to, where it's supposed to be. We need a whole lot of extra help of braces. Instead of walking in the word, abiding in God, we need kind of superficial help to make us look like we're walking good. Standing up strong. I got this crutch. Michaela, in a volleyball tournament yesterday, came down and sprained her ankle. That little thing that was supposed to have been beside her didn't move her feet. Everybody got to do your part. You got to move your feet to get out of the way. Right, Karina? When you come down, you can't come down on somebody else's foot. You're going to sprain. So she sprained her ankle. So you know what Kayla needs? Kayla needs some crutches. She needs some help. Because daddy cannot be everywhere with her to pick her up and carry her into a room. I cannot be everywhere with her to help her walk if she's leaning on my shoulder into every room. I can't be there. So she needs some superficial help. She needs some crutches. The danger in this is that we as mature Christians are still walking around with spiritual crutches that were never assigned to us by the healing power of God. So we're not abiding in God. So what's produced out of our lives is not as spiritual as it should be. Because we're not where we're supposed to be. Is that making sense for us? So if we're going to pour love, deep love, everybody, it has to be done properly through the light. Through the light. So this idea of abiding and living is working in partnership. This idea of abiding and living and walking is working in spiritual partnership. So I challenge you one last time. If you say you love God, you say you love God, you must be abiding in him, and your walk must match what you say. In a hush. Because y'all got to move on, but I want to say this. We have a lot of people that have a whole lot of good hallelujah. But no do you, Luya. We talk a real good game on Sunday mornings. But depending on what comes on TV and who says it, the real me comes out. Social media, you get the real me. Because I'm at my desk on my phone. I can say what I want to say. Nobody's holding me accountable. No filter. God, I know God is real, but God gave me this brand. I got to say what I got to say. We blame stuff on God as an excuse to say what we want to say. But it all boils down to, are we living in God? And then are we walking out the truth of our walk with him? Is that making sense for us? Look, the second thing I want to say. Look at verse number 7 and 6. It says, "Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining." If you're taking notes, write this down. Loving Deeper says it's done precisely through Jesus. There is only one way to show real love. Only one way to show real love. And it's not in the hip motion. That ain't showing real love. It's not. Now, those that are married, there's some glory in it. Only for those that are married. But that ain't how you show real love. Mm-mm. We got some minute men and, you know, and some things. So that can't be how you show it. I mean, if that is the case, we got a lot of disappointed women. Oh, hurt me somebody. That cannot be the case. That's not how you show love. It's not how you show love. Love that's done right. It's love that's done through Christ. And there's no way you can get around this. Again, we keep trying to push our way of love onto people. And you can't push the way you want to receive love onto people. My wife and we have two different love languages. I mean, two different. Hers is active service. If I want to make my wife smile, oh, I say, "Babe, what can I do for you today?" Now, listen, before I do that, I make sure that my day is movable. Because if I ask, oh, she's got an answer. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. She's got. So I got to make sure before I ask it that my day is flexible enough so I can meet that need. Right, Kareena, I don't want to say something to get myself in trouble. Why you ask? So I'm going to do it. And see, my love language is, what's my love language, babe? Gifts, baby, gifts. You want to love? Oh, buy me a gift. And I tell you. Not just anybody, but if she buy me a gift, I mean, because she's thoughtful. She knows me. So in my just little antics of walking around, I say, oh, man, that would be cool to have. She remembers it. Because that's my love language, right? I've been taking my wife to work and picking her up from work. That means so much to her. It's almost on my nerve that I gave away. But I just love to do it because it, oh, I love. I mean, I didn't mean to say that in the microphone. But it's acts of service that touches her in a good, sweet place. Not that I'm trying to get anything from her, because she's going to give me that because we married. So I ain't trying to get nothing from her, but I want her to know that we abide together. All right. And it's done precisely not because I'm trying to get her on my side, but because this is what the Word of God says I am challenged to do. So if you want God's results, we got to do it God's way. And when we start placating, adding things to it, and trying to massage the scripture to make sense for us, we're going to mess up God's results. All right. So the text says here, John says, "This is you already know this. This is the old command. This is what John is talking about. This is in the Old Testament. This is in the Torah. This, you know this. So I'm not offering you something new in the command, but I am offering you something new in the revelation. The revelation is the command of the Old Testament has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So now, when you did not know how to show love because Moses messed it up, when you did not know how to show love because Isaiah got some things wrong, when you did not know how to show love because the priests were messing things up, and Malachi said, God said, I want to just shut the doors of the temple because you keep messing things up. Since they got it wrong, Christ had to come to show us how to give real love. That's why it's only precisely done through Christ. And so it continues because now Christ lives in us. So since we abide in him, we now know how to show real love to everybody around us. It ain't something new. You just have to choose to do it. It ain't some brand new revelation like, oh my God, that was a revelation from God today. No. The revelation is, are you going to do it or not? You know, we want some real big, like, oh my God. Oh God, that was, oh, no. Oh yeah, no. That ain't happening. The revelation is, are you going to be obedient to what you know? All right. So love is shown through Christ, is also love shown through us. And if you say you love and you don't follow the commands, you are a liar. So can we just stop and be honest? There's a little lie in all of us. Because I don't want y'all to think that, you know, Matt, I know, because y'all, some of y'all already think that Jesus, me and Jesus are just, I'm like his play cousin, I'm real, and yeah, I get it, everything. And all y'all see me, y'all see, I know. Hit it, Tay. I know Tay wants to say, you want to holler it? I know, but don't do it, because I have sinned also. I think back in 85, I said something in 85. Well, y'all sure have you on the preacher this morning. But all of us have sinned, but we cannot abide in that place. Is that making sense for us? If we do, we are liars. So imagine the fact that you're lying on the resurrected Jesus. We keep nailing him to the cross that he has been delivered from. Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue satisfying our flesh because we want to feel good for the moment in time? How are you demonstrating the love of Jesus? For one thing, we got to start by not lying. See, there are certain things I don't have to worry about in life. If justice was a spiritual gift, y'all pardon me for being personal, I'm going to be personal again. If justice was a spiritual gift, my wife would have justice as a spiritual gift. Because she doesn't see in between. I mean, in everything. I mean, now either you wiped the counter off or you didn't.
how you wipe the count off and there's still crumbs on the table. Now, either you did or you didn't. I ain't going to say who does that, but they're not in the room. Kenzie, you're safe. It's not Kenzie. It's not Kenzie. I mean, how you do that? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And from that to the bigger things, now, honey, now either you called them or you didn't call them. And I'm like, well, I called them. I think I, how you think you called them, then you know if you called them. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And in my mind, I'm really thinking, how you think, you know if you call, look at your phone, you can tell if you call. I'm like, golly. Let it go. Let it go. She ain't letting it. And so one thing I don't have to worry about is my wife lying to me. She's just not going to lie to me. Sometimes I appreciate it. Sometimes, like, all right, ma'am, okay. All right. But what John is saying, you cannot appreciate good relationships if you are lying in the relationship. And I want to challenge us, because some of us have some ships that we're sailing in. And these ships were not built properly. And so you've got to go through some work to rekindle and rebuild that love dam. Right? To rebuild some things, because you cannot build a ship on lies. And so if you're lying to God, hear me well. God will never remove himself from us. But when we sin, we remove ourselves and we put a divider in the relation, in the fellowship. The relationship will always be there, but the fellowship just won't be the same. You know, we talk to our children and say, y'all know there's some things that we just don't stand for. We're not going to. If you somehow or another get to college and you think that you are in love with the same sex, hey, it's your life, but understand it's not welcome in our home. So you have a decision to make. You understand what I'm saying? We're not going to condone just because he came out of me. Oh, that's fine. Now get away from me. You know, I'm going to still love him. Y'all know I ain't now. I'm going to still love him. But we're not going to come to a wedding and stand there in solidarity. The devil is a liar and you are too. We cannot abide in lies, you all. Because when you abide in a lie, you've now given freedom to lie about something else. You've now given license to take the lie a little bit deeper. Well, we about to have children. Oh, God bless you all. You don't want to meet your grandchildren? Oh, I love to meet them. But there is a buffer in the relationship. So now you want me to do all the changing, but you don't want to do what's right. Now you want me to change what I believe to accommodate you. But you knew where I stood long before. All right. Y'all, this lying demon. John says himself that the devil is the father of all lies. From a white lie to testing grapes at Kroger's. Oh, shoot. All of it.
We must have a lot of testers in here today. I mean,
and I know the Kroger here in Midlothian, they have a wing stand over there with all these different wings, and people over there testing wings. How you test? And they looked at me and said, hey, Pastor Mac, I didn't put it back. Well, thank you. I mean, what you? All right. Loving deep is done precisely through Jesus. We have what has been implanted in us is the same love that we need now to love God and love our neighbors. Amen. And if we don't walk it out in love, there's not a question about who God is, but it's a question about where you are with God. Amen. One final thing and we'll be done. Look at verses number 9 through 11. The word says this: anyone who claims to be in the light
but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. And there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Listen, you all, and when you're doing your research and your exegetical work, we were always told to highlight certain words. So if you can you highlight a couple of words in your Bible? If you can, or if you have your device, just put some kind of mark on it. Because there's something about highlighting certain things I'd want to raise up to you. So highlight in there claims deserves to be highlighted. Highlight at the end of verse 10, stumble. It's stumble. What does he mean by stumble? In verse 11, walks around, and then underline darkness. What does that mean? And then at the end of verse number 11, blinded them. All right. So anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. John is saying to us that there are some that are claiming salvation, claiming relationship, but they're not claiming lordship. Okay? We have some that are claiming Christ and his resurrection, but they're not claiming Christ as Lord. All right. So this looks not like you, but maybe the person sitting behind you. How we claim salvation, but we're not giving Christ the lordship, the rulership, the authority in our lives. And for that cause, we still do what we want to do when we want to do it. Because we're satisfied with going to heaven, but we don't want heaven's authority on earth. All right, so we have to deal with the contentness and the motives of humanity's heart. Say, I want all that God has provided, and we sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." I want all that, yet I want it on my serving table. You know, I want it, but I want to be the distributor of it in my life. Anybody say back at me, that's not God's way. So our hearts have to not continue to be in darkness. Our hearts must turn to light. Look at the text. We're not going to make them nothing. I'm almost done. So love and light, then hate and darkness are in odds with one another. Now, either you're loving and in the light, or you're hating and in the darkness. All right. One or the other. It's one or the other. You can't be a half-loving and a half-hater. You know? Either you're a lover or you're a hater. All right. Now, some of y'all look at me now. Man, I'm just reading the scriptures now. It falls or one of falls. Are you a lover or are you a hater? Uh-huh. Some of the fellas, y'all don't give yourself away, but some of y'all were real lovers in the day, right? I mean, you're a lover now because you're loving on your wife, but if you just had this kind of suave, loving kind of thing, baby. You know what I'm talking about, baby. You're a lover. And when she turned from you, you became a hater. And it was because your love wasn't rooted in the right source. It was the kind of love that I'm just trying to get what I can get while I can get it kind of love, girl. Hey, girl, look at you. You're pretty self. I know you got a man, but drop that chicken dinner and get with a winner. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
That's what you said, Kelsey, and that's what you told Karina. Karina, like, ah, take me, boy, take me, boy, take me. Take me, take me. Walking around in darkness is the description of one that's not producing fruit. Walking around in darkness is the evidence of someone that's not living in the vein of God. Yo, look at that. I'm not making them done. He said, so let's go with the text. Verse 10, anyone who loves his brother and sister lives in light, and there is nothing in them that makes them stumble. So, okay, I'm almost done. So if we're going to live in the light of Christ, that means we are following through with all the scriptures. So all the epistles are talking about the relationship between the saints within the church. So if we're living according to God's word, there are certain things that we do towards one another because that shows love for our brothers and sisters and shows the authority of God. So greeting one another, being there to support one another, forsaking not the assembly for the fellowship, all those things fall through when we are doing it the way God says to do it in the light, right? So when we don't do it in the light, that means we're making it up as we go. And there's a problem, we make it up as we go. You know what happens? It doesn't work right and you stumble. It's one thing to stumble in obedience, out of obedience. And it is another thing to stumble from disobedience. You see, when I was young and my dad told my brother and I to do certain things, as long as we were doing what he said, he was not looking for perfection, but he wanted obedience. Because when I didn't get it right, I didn't get a whipping. He just showed me where I messed up. But if I'm doing what I'm doing out of disobedience, I'm going to stumble because I'm not walking in obedience. And disobedience is turning away from God. So God has to deal with us to get us back in place, right? So when we mess up out of disobedience, we have to now pay the price for disobedience. Some of us are living in a season of being disciplined. The stumbling we are living in right now does not need you to come by and save them out of it. Because possibly they're stumbling now as a result of decisions they've made. So you've got to be very, very clear and very aware not to infiltrate yourself in somebody else's business, because it could be that God is doing something in them based on their previous actions. Is that making sense for us? That making sense? So look at the text. The text says again, if you are doing it in the light, you cannot stumble. Everybody, look. There is nothing in them to make them stumble. Listen, y'all. You see what John is saying? That if you're doing it God's way, there's nothing in you, because you have God's word in you, that will cause you to stumble. Again, this whole idea of walking. You see the distress going on? That if you walk right in God, you won't stumble. But if you're not walking right in God, you're going to stumble. That's why some people suffer. Just it never adds up. I keep trying, Rev. I talked to a cat the other day. Rev, I keep trying, and everything I'm doing ain't working out. And I told him, I said, so what is your question? Because all you're doing, you're just acknowledging the fact that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And God is not going to honor your disobedience. You cannot sin successfully. You can't just do what you want to do and expect blessings to rain down from heaven or for water to come up out of the ground. It just doesn't work like that. Look at the text. So verse 11 says this, but anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. All right, so I'm just about done, but get this, everybody. Nothing productive happens in the darkness. Nothing productive happens in darkness. I know you married folks, you say, well, Rev, I got one issue with that. I'm with you, but I'm talking about true production. You know, all you can do in darkness is reproduction. Right, right, right. But I'm talking about production. Come on, y'all go with me now. In darkness. Because when you're in darkness, it's the sense of, darkness is always partnered with sin, all right? And secrecy, right? So when you're doing something in the dark, it means you're trying to hide something. And if love is love, you want it to be exposed to everybody. You know, but when it's the kind of love I'm just trying to get what I can get, again, you know, don't. It's always, because the speech is dark. You know, the speech is dark. Hey, girl. You know, it's just dark. What you doing? You know, I'm standing here. You know what I'm doing. Why are you asking me a dumb question? I'm on the phone with you. What is what? Darkness. Y'all see what I'm saying? You know where I'm going. But when you're walking in light, something different is produced out of light walking versus dark walking. All right? So if the idea here is that you've got to deal with those dark spaces. You've got to deal with those dark spaces. You have to want to deal with it, and you got to deal with it. Because you, in a dark space, sometimes we're satisfied with being happy, but we never experience the joy. And so that dark space can trick us, because you can do some growing in dark spaces. It looks good. Happiness is great. Man, I just want to be happy. Yeah. But the only problem with happiness is that it depends on all the other things that are happening. And if all those things are not adding up to make you happy, you're not happy. But joy is something completely different. That you could take my car, but I still got joy. I don't want to walk everywhere, but I still got joy. It's completely different. Get out of those dark spaces. Listen, some of us have some mental spaces that are so dark. And we would rather live in that dark space than experience the freedom of God's light. So you have a challenge today to rebuke the enemy when he tries to play those old tapes, to bring that spirit of depression or anxiety back upon you. No, you have been forgiven. You are set free. Come out of the darkness. Text finally says here, in the final verse, he says, but anyone who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. One of the sadder things in the world is to see a church and people in it that profess Jesus Christ, yet we walk around as if we don't know what to do. We are no longer blind. We've been reading Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, that the blinders, and Paul says even in Corinthians, that the blinders will be removed. That it doesn't make sense for believers today to walk around aimlessly as if we don't have a goal in life. Because we don't stumble anymore. Because there's something that's been planted in us that keeps us straight and upright. That continues to order our steps. And makes our pathway clear. Because the darkness has blinded them. I'm done, but we got to remember this, that John is writing to the church. So there are some people in the church that have the light, but still can't see. There are some people in the church that are exposed to the glory and the illumination of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but yet they're still blind. That's a dichotomy. How can you have sight and still be blind? That's one of the paradox of faith. How can you be free, but yet still confound? Right? How can you be in the midst of all this light, but you still can't see your foot in front of the other? It all boils down to everybody, to the fellowship you have with Jesus Christ. For the church of Ephesus to get it right, they had to repent and to turn back to God. In order for you to get it right, to walk clearly in the light, we must repent and turn back to God.
this church in Ephesus is going to be a beacon of light to those churches in Asia Minor. But John had to deal with them in their love effect towards one another. How are you loving your brothers and sisters? Are you showing the love of Jesus? Jesus says this, that they will know that you are my disciples by how big your buildings are. Is that what he said? Jesus said that they will know that you are my disciples that by how wonderful your praise team is. How good you, how, what kind of cameras you use to record services. That's how they'll know. They will know how good, they will know who you are by how much bandwidth you have and how far you can upload and download your videos to go out to Netflix. And no, he says, they will know that you are my disciples by how you love one another. Everybody, the challenge today is that we want to exemplify and show this love because the world is looking for a hope. And the hope they ought to find is the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. Gosh. The prayer is still the same from the beginning of service to now. That this love will overflow. That it will flow from our hearts into the lives of others. But the question boils down to, are you willing to come out of darkness? I know you're saved. I know you're saved. I know things are well better in your life than they are in others. But are you ready to shed all that dark life? Listen, when I'm talking about darkness, I'm not just talking about those things that are superficial, things that you see. But there are some implications with this in our own hearts and lives because we're still reading some things that are dark. We wear clothes that are dark. Depending on what God has said to you, some of the fragrances we wear, we ought not wear them because there's a dark tint to it. It arouses things in people that's putting more on you than it is the light that you represent. So even for the clothes that we wear, are these clothes representing who God is, or is this representing who I want everybody to know about me? It's not just darkness and being able to quote five scriptures. That's that because I can't do it. No, that's not darkness. The darkness is represented in all of us. If there's anything that God has said to you specifically about your life and you're still not doing what he said, you're living in darkness. And I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to you. I've been walking this out for over 2 months now. I had to deal with this text. There are some things in me that were still some shady stuff. Some dark tint, some things in my heart of me not wanting to let go of some hurt. But if I wanted to walk in the light, I had to deal with it. And it can become frustrating because once I deal with this, God shows one more thing. Well, that's what happens when you're in the light. I'm like, Lord, I got this right. Can you give me a week to get over this and to settle down? And the Lord's like, no. There's more I got to do to get out of you. If I want to be trusted by God, I've got to give all this stuff to him. If you want to be trusted by God for this season and for the seasons to come, we've got to get out of the darkness, everybody. We got to get out of the darkness of the thought that it's that my idea is the best idea. Because some of us, if we don't bring it up, we don't want to partner with anybody else's idea because we come up with the better ideas. Your idea, it could be a good idea, but it may not be the right idea for now. How about that? Y'all, my challenge is darkness is not just the sins that we see. It's all those, the sins that are in me. That I've got to deal with. So, Lord, we thank you. We've been asking your spirit to overflow in here today, Father. And in partnership of overflowing, the reality is you've never stopped flowing. question on the table is, have I done my part to recognize what you're doing now? So, Father, I'm availing myself to you. Because I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. I've got to let some things go. Holding some dark areas in my life and allowing them to lead me instead of allowing your light to lead me. Father, I have made some bad decisions. And if I'm not careful, I will allow that bad decision to prevent me from moving forward. Although I know I've been forgiven, I'll diminish your quality in me and I'll see myself as one that continues to mess up, instead of seeing myself the way you see me. So, Father, in the sweetness of this moment, your sons and daughters, we're not saying that we need you because you're not here, but we need you because we know that we're nothing without you. And we don't want to live one second out of fellowship with you. So as your children, we come and we confess to you today, Father. We don't have to confess to be saved. We believe to be saved. But we confess our sins, allowing you to be Lord of all of those areas. So, Father, we thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And Father, we need you to perform surgery within us in such a hardcore emergency way. Because if we don't open ourselves to you, we're going to walk out of here today, another Sunday, Sunday being in service, Sunday of worship, Sunday of fellowship, and we'll go right back into the same old thinking. But not today. Where we have missed the mark, Father, we confess it. Because we want to be right with you. Thank you for your Shekinah glory that weighs upon us. Thank you for weighing on us, Father. Thank you for revealing things that only the illumination of your glory will reveal. Those areas we've got to address. And so, Father, we thank you today. And so we love you. We make ourselves available to you now. We're centering in.